Listen to this episode so you can learn about the legacy entrepreneur.
Who are you? I don't know, but we're about to find out.
This is the Come Up Steps to Success podcast with your hosts, James Lawson and Courtney Steven.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinguished honor to welcome a good friend and somebody who you really need to get to know, the legacy coach himself, Mr. Vince Luciani. Vince, how are you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you here. I know you've been keeping real busy doing a lot of things in the community. But before we get into what you've been up to lately and, you know, telling the people a little bit about your story, I want to go way back and really just talk about how we met. We went to school together.
We did. At Laurier?
Yes, those were good times. So, you know, we played college football. And then tell me what happened after you graduated from Laurier and you stepped out into the real world. What were the next, how did life develop for you after that, from that point on?
Oh man, this is great. So I haven't told this in a while. I haven't told this story in a while. But the real world to me, my first taste, my mom's friend started this business selling energy bands. Remember Power Balance and like energy armor? So they're like, okay, you're in. It's all commission. You know what? You're going to go into the slowest mall in Ontario, which was Burlington Mall. And I was like, and you got to sell these things. So I'm out there first day, right? And so there's a kiosk. It's not in a store. So you're in a kiosk. And there's people walking by. And I'm like leaving the kiosk to go talk to people. Hey, you want to try this out? Want to stand on one leg? You want to try this out? You want to try this balance? And I got to a point where the mall manager approached me and was like, excuse me, you're too flea market-like. You need to step back. But it was so funny because in that time, though, what I learned there was how to approach people. So I had this product. I wanted them to experience it. And I had to like, oh, geez, like I got to make money. So I have to approach them, right?
Right. You had that shark in you. You were going and getting it. You know, they told you to sell something and you're like, okay, by any means necessary. But you were a little almost too good for what they signed you up for, huh?
I don't want to say that live, but maybe.
Hey.
We'll see. Yeah. Maybe we'll see later in this episode.
Maybe that was just a little, you know, prequel to what you were end up doing later, because you definitely got value that you're adding to a ton of people's lives. But I want to hear more about how we really arrived at where we are today. So from that mall in Burlington, you know, selling power bands and helping people get their balance up, how did you transition from there into working with the, you know, the Hamilton Tiger Cats in professional football and then doing your master's of coaching at Ohio? Like, what was that all like? Take me through that time in your life and just tell me where you were at trying to find yourself as a, you know, ex-athlete and as a, I guess, young entrepreneur.
For sure. So at that time, I still had the attachment to football and I still wanted to coach. And I got a phone call about probably 4 months into that job from our friend Kirsten. And she said, you know, there's an internship opening with the Tiger Cats as an offensive assistant. You want to apply? And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Like, I would love that. And so I applied, got it, worked there for 8 months. Just for the one season.
What was your experience like working in professional sports?
It was an interesting one. Not really what I expected. It was a commitment. Like we talk about the grind. You know, I don't really love that word, but it was like, you know, up every morning at 4:30, back home at like 9 p.m. Like didn't get to hang out with my friends, didn't get to, you know. And the thing was, is like the funny thing about coaching is like you think coaching, okay, so I'm always talking to people. But you're like, you're behind a desk sometimes, you're like printing stuff out, making sure that, you know, all the sheets are in order, the playbooks are set, all that. And it was like, it was a great experience because I got to see the background of the product that I experienced as a player. But it was awesome. I got to work with Kahari Jones, one of my favorite people in the world. But it was an experience. Like it was a test. You know what it was? That's what it was. It was a test.
Because now you just told me two stories. You told us two stories about taking that sales job and then going to coaching. Now, you didn't have any experience doing sales before that. Did you have any experience doing coaching before this?
So I should have told you. So I did work at Foot Locker, okay?
Okay.
In Brampton, Bramley Mall. They loved me out there.
I swear Foot Locker was the dream job I had when
amazing.
I was a really young kid.
That's what I mean. And it was so busy. It was awesome. But yeah, so before that, I coached high school. So I coached like rep ball and that. And then when I really fell in love with coaching, it's kind of funny. Powder Puff. So yeah. When I like coaching girls, like when you would teach a concept to somebody and they would take it in and be like, oh my gosh, I've never played football before. And then they learn this concept and then they apply it. You're like, there's nothing more fulfilling. You're like, you just allowed someone to grow through something that you learned.
So is it safe to say that the opportunities that you took advantage of kind of showcase what your skills were, and you found some of the talents that you had, the hidden talents outside of, you know, just, you know, catching a ball, playing football, being athletic?
Yeah. So, and that's what's great is like, there's always those underlying themes of like when you play, it's the underlying themes beneath it. Like it may look different elsewhere, but the thing underneath of like communication, collaboration, you know, commitment, dedication, all those things like group work, teamwork, like those are all the underlying things. It looks different elsewhere. But football was always the way that it showed up in my life. And off of that, there was a time in high school, and you know this too, like I used to sell shoes. And selling shoes to me back then, I was like, no, shoes. Like if somebody would ask me what my purpose was, we'd be like, my purpose is to sell footwear.
Hey, you gave me my first Babe shirt.
That's right. But the whole thing I realized there, now looking back, I just love connecting with people. So when I was wearing a pair of Jordans on the street, some random guy would come up to me like, where'd you get those? I loved that connection more than anything. But the only way I knew how to get that connection was through shoes. So it's that underlying thing that kept coming up in all these experiences that you're talking about. Yeah.
Now, for the people that probably went to high school with you and you were, you know, slanging shoes to them, can you mention what high school you went to so they could get a little shout out?
Yeah. Holy Trinity in Oakville. Yep. Had the football lockers. I could fit, I think, six pairs in there at a time.
There you go. Shout out to Holy Trinity in Oakville. But yeah, man, that's cool. I think we can really start to see how this develops because you're very in tune with people and you have a great sense of relationships. You know, even when you were in the mall, I could tell just by knowing you myself, I know that you're reaching out to those people and having meaningful conversations with them and leading that into the, you know, the end goal or the sale or what have you. But so you work with the Ticats, you know, professional football, you did that. And then you went away and you got your master's in coaching. Was that something that you were planning to do before the professional experience, or was that something that evolved as you were, you know, on the job learning?
That evolved. So I was, you know, while I was coaching with the Ticats, I was like, okay, I really like this. I love being a part of the team. I love coaching. You know, what else can I do with this? Because, you know, as you know, a CFL intern, you don't really get paid a lot. So it was kind of like, I don't know if I can do this again. So I, you know, my coaches kept telling me you should GA somewhere. And I was like, I don't even know what GA stands for. So I gotta look this up.
That's a graduate assistant for any of you guys who don't know.
Yeah. So then I started, you know, I sent out, oh my God, hundreds of emails, called everybody I knew, every coach I knew, hooked me up with who they knew. And it got to a point where I drove down to, best friend Drew and I drove down to West Virginia, and then we drove to Ohio. And then it was on that visit, I met with the head of the coaching education program. And he brought me over to introduce me to the director of football operations. And he's like, hey, man, you get into a program here, you're on the team as a student assistant. I was like, oh, my gosh, amazing.
So kind of opportunity presented itself. You were at the right place at the right time. And, you know, heaven opened up and just spoke.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sometimes that's how life goes, man. The best things fall into your lap when you least expect them. But when you stay prepared, you're always ready to capitalize. So what was your experience like moving, not backwards, but moving from the pro ranks down to coaching and working with collegiate kids while also then you started studying yourself. So you were busy. You had a really busy schedule. But what was it like, you know, that contrast of working in the pros to working in the NCAA?
Yeah, it was different in the sense of like, you know, you're obviously working with younger guys and you want to be able to be that mentor for them. Like, whereas the pro guys, they come in, it's like, okay, you show them the system and then they're gone after, what, 4 hours or whatever it is, right? With college guys, it's like, keeping in touch, like, okay, how's your girlfriend? How's this? How's school going? How's the res life? How's all this stuff? And so that to me, I really enjoyed that piece of it. And I remember having, you know, working with I had the offensive scout team my first year, and then second year with the defensive scout team. And I loved those guys. Like, you know, when you're a scout team player, I don't know if you ever were because you were so good.
Oh yeah, I walked on at Northern Illinois. I spent a year servicing those guys.
Yeah, that's true. But I love nothing more than having those group of guys who just showed up every day and just gave a look. Right? It's such an integral part of a team, but they just gave a look, and it was just like that. I just love that group within a group, and that's when like I really started to like, okay, I think I'm like. And it didn't really happen while I was in it. But looking back, I realized that I loved people more than I love like the concepts and everything and the schemes about football. And you know how that culture is. It's a beautiful thing, but it's very like, okay, this is football.
It's a game, but it's not a game. Like, we need results. This is a production. You're going to be measured. You want to see, you know, the fruit of the labor. It's not just for fun. We're not here for our health. We're here to produce results.
Exactly. Yeah. And I felt that in a few moments, a few ways. And I didn't know at the time that I just realized that what was happening in my second year, I just felt like I didn't really fit in. And so that's when I started to, and to be completely honest, like I went through a depression, you know, didn't really know who I was. Like I was like, you know, I came home after work and I fell asleep because I was just like, I didn't know what else to do with my time. And I went through a dark spot and there was actually a moment, you know, everything happens for a reason. I played pickup basketball with my buddies and I ruptured my patella tendon and was forced to come home to recover. And it was in that recovery time where I realized I'm like, I don't belong down there. And it wasn't in a way like there was nothing wrong with my experience. It was just my purpose was going to take me elsewhere, you know, and this is just upon reflection. When I was in it, I was like, okay, I just don't belong there. I don't know what's wrong. I have a busted up knee. I don't know what's going on, but I should not be there. And I limped my way into a Lululemon. This was, you know, a couple months after recovering. And I said like, you know, I'm looking for a job. They're like, I remember the girl was stunned. She's like, you're a guy and you want to work here? And I was like, yeah. She's like, all right, we have a group interview next week. So I go to the group interview, I get hired, and this was the day that changed my life. My manager sat me down and she said, who are you, Vince? I said, I'm a football coach. And I was all excited and I was like, yeah, I'm a football coach. And she's like, Vince, that's what you do. She's like, who are you? And I was like, I sat there and I remember I broke down in tears in the middle of a coffee shop because she asked me this question. She didn't tell me who I was, but she gave me, basically she put a mirror in front of my face and said, who are you, Vince? And I was rattled. I was devastated, but there was like this depth to it. Like I sat there and I was like, okay, I guess it's time now. It's time to understand, you know, who's below that coaching polo, you know, 'cause it's not a jersey anymore. Right. But I got in that, I understood the power of a question there. And that's when the self-discovery started for me. And that was the most pivotal moment of my life. And so it got me rolling. And, you know, I went to a bunch of, after that, I was so curious about myself. And so I started going to all these leadership retreats, all these workshops, all these different seminars. I did goal coaching with Lululemon. And that was Lululemon is a great vehicle for that. Just getting people to understand, like, what's your vision for your life? What are your goals? Like, what do you want to accomplish? And I was like, why do they care so much about us as people? Like, I'm so used to like, okay, what are the results?
Right, right.
What are like, are we going to win today?
That's what the sports world is about.
Yeah, for sure. Which is totally fine. Like, you got to make money. So of course it's got to be based on wins, right? You can't go in and be like, oh, everything's great. You know?
I mean, especially in a world where everything is measured based on stats and you can track your production. They've got a quarterback rating. They've got grade sheets, all that kind of stuff. It must have been quite the transition to a different world where the focus is supposed to be on the individual's well-being and their growth and their potential. So
now I got a question for you because, you know, we're on the come up, you know, this is the come up podcast. And you said something very important that I really want to kind of go back to. You said that you were like, you know, in a state of depression and you were almost down and out and it took you coming back to Canada to kind of find your place. Now, you know, for you, it kind of seems like, you know, you took a new opportunity, went to Lululemon and that kind of, you know, it sparked something inside you. But for some of our audience that, you know, they're in that place and they're, you know, they're on the come up, but they're at the rock bottom right now. What are some of the things that you put into practice at that time that allowed you to say, you know what, let me take this new opportunity, even though it's something that's outside of my scope?
The first thing I would say is when you're in that dark spot or you're in that crappy moment, and I've been there so many times in my life. You know, the best, can I swear?
Go ahead, man.
Okay. So, you know, I'll just replace it. But if you, the best advice I ever got was when you're in a pile of crap, roll around in it and get used to it because the more you sit in it and feel that depth of, you know, like whether it's anger or sadness, whatever, the higher you're going to appreciate the good stuff, right? So I want, like, I always tell people, like sit in it. Like, people are so afraid to sit in that dark place. But what I want people to understand is, like, the more, like, I just experienced a big passing in my life, a big death in my life. My dad just passed. And what I've learned about it is, like, the sadder I am with this, the more I'm going to appreciate the moments coming forward. And so I didn't know this at the time, right? So at the time, like, there was nothing I could have advised anyone on because I was going through it myself. But if I was talking to myself in that moment right now, I'd be like, hey, feel this right now, because the more you feel and understand this, like, dark room that you're in, the more you're going to love that light room right next to it, right? It's closer than you think. And so I just want, you know, there's a lot of fear around that unknown. And I always tell people, like, just feel it, like, really just sit in it, you know, and not in a way where it's like, feel it and stay there. But it's like, no, understand that trust yourself that you're going to get out of it. But just really get used to how it feels. Like, what are the voices that you're hearing in your head? Like, where do you go in your mind? Because you're going to get out of it. Like, you trust yourself that you're going to get out of it. But the more you understand that place, the more you're going to recognize when it comes up again.
You feel like moments like those build perspective?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, absolutely. There was actually, sorry, just to, because you brought me back to that moment. I remember myself in that room, like the room I was in. And I sat down, and it was a moment where I really hated myself. Like, I really disliked myself. And I found myself, we talk about measurement statistics. I found myself comparing myself to every single person around me, every coach. Oh, Vince, I sent out 10 emails to schools today. What did you do? And I remember just being like, I'm not as good as them, you know? And you get in that moment of, like, it's self-pity. And it's just, and that's what leads to the depression. Cause you're like, well, if I compare myself to all these great people around me, I'm never going to be good enough. And then you sit there and, like, I'm not good enough. It's all those limiting beliefs.
And I feel like that ties into, you know, the conversation you were having in that coffee shop where it was, who are you? And you answered with what you do. So then if every day you look at what you do and it doesn't measure up to the stats that you're supposed to hit or the metrics you're supposed to hit, then you feel bad about who you are.
Yes.
So your identity is so crucial in unlocking your true self and becoming aware and opening up your mind. You can really open doors that you didn't even see were there when you start to understand who you are, because it changes the perspective you have on your own life. That brings us to what is the legacy coaching? Because I feel like this is the perfect segue.
So I've narrowed it down to, I guide athletes to define their own answers for life's big questions. And really, if I talk to, like, a friend about it, it's basically like, what I've done is I've created modules and activities, which are lessons that I wish I learned when I was an athlete. So things like the first session I do with everyone is the identity. So define your own identity. Because I believe when you define things for yourself, you're not going to fall for anybody else's. So if I don't define my own identity, I may be defined by what I do. I may sit there and go, like, I'm an entrepreneur, and based on how much money I make, that's my value, that's my self-worth. But if I define my identity, and I've defined it as love. So for me, when I have love, I am Vince in every aspect, in every realm of my life, I am Vince. And so the whole idea is, like, I take people on a journey, and it's not like I don't tell anyone anything, but I guide them. So the term I love is guided discovery. So the whole idea is, you know, you set the parameters, but you allow them to figure things out within it for themselves. And what I love is especially with young athletes, like, it's funny, I talk to parents and they're like, is that a lot of pressure to put on a kid to define their, you know, their life's purpose? And I'm like, it's funny because, like, we live in our purpose every day through complaint. Like, I always say, you know, I'm going off on a tangent. We're going through that hole we're talking about right now. But if you think about, like, purpose, right? Whatever you're complaining about is directly in line with your purpose. So if you say, if you complain about people who are inconsiderate, that means you want people to be kind, right? If you complain about, like, the world's always stressed out, everyone's so angry, and that's all we complain about, you want peace. So the whole idea is, like, channeling that energy into something good. And all it takes is awareness. Like, I believe that self-awareness is the foundation to fulfillment within or without sport.
Now, Vince, you know, it's crazy because in life we have teachers that teach us academics, you know, we have coaches that teach us football, and now with the new, you know, the new market and entrepreneurship, life coaches, you know, teaching you how to live your everyday life. Now you've brought a twist to things, a legacy coach. You know, you're having people think about the big picture. Tell me why that's important, because as a former athlete, after football, I'm like, whoa, what goes on now? And now I'm here like, if I had somebody that was a legacy coach telling me, you know, this is how you got to think. You got to think with the big picture in mind. Maybe some of the hiccups that I had in my career wouldn't have been there. So I want to know, why is it important to have a legacy coach?
So this is awesome. Cause it's like the first time I sell myself, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you should sign
up. But it's not even selling yourself. Yeah, yeah. It's when the product is what it is, it sells itself. Yeah, so no, it's true. Just tell us about it, because I've experienced it. I've actually gone through sessions with you, and personally, I mean, mind blown, right? Mind absolutely blown. You've been in a room with yourself your whole entire life, and you're still finding out new things. So when you can unlock stuff that you've been around, it's kind of powerful. So like Jimmy said, why is the legacy so important?
So in terms of the word legacy, or in terms of the coach, having a coach?
Hey, hit both of us. Okay. Hit both of them.
So legacy is one of those things, like when I realized the positive impact that I could have on this world just through small actions, small daily actions, I was like, oh my gosh. So imagine if everybody knew that the ability to make a positive impact in someone's day. Because like I think of, so when I worked at Lululemon, every time I was at the cash register, somebody would come out, they would buy their stuff, and I would ask them, what is the best thing that happened to you today? And so they sit there and they go, you know what? Yeah, I had a really nice phone call. And then they kind of perk up. They're like, yeah, I had a really good day. Yeah, it was really nice. And what I started to understand through that was, after probably a few months, people would come back and be like, you remember that one time you asked me what the best thing that happened to me was? I went and I asked my whole family. Then they went and they asked their friend. And so I started to see this like trickle, right? And I thought that wasn't my intention. I wasn't like, let's see how far this can go. I was just like, I just didn't want it to be a transaction of like, here are some pants, take care, have a good day. I want it to be like, you know what, get in people's minds. Like not get in there in a weird way, but it was just like, I just want people to open up a little
bit. Just plant a seed of positivity.
Exactly. And so what I learned was like, oh my gosh, like that's how people create a legacy. It's not through this getting in front of getting on a podium, talking to 20,000 people and being like, this is what you need to do. This is how you make an impact. You literally, all you have to do is just be, and you're living a legacy. My father just passing, what I learned about him, he was the most present person I've ever met. And all he did was he made every single person in his life feel special. I watched thousands of people go through his funeral, and it was like, that's all it takes. He didn't get up and speak in front of thousands of people. He just loved in every moment of his life. And then in doing that, he left a legacy. So what I always tell people is like, you know, the question you always hear is like, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? That's the outcome. I want people to think of not the legacy that you're leaving, but the legacy that you're living, because that's the process that, and then the outcome of that is just the byproduct.
So every day when you're living your life, would you say it's become habitual to kind of look on the bright side, or have you had times where you really felt like, I know you said you had the depression and whatnot, we went through that, but you sound like you've got it all together. It sounds like, you know, you've built up some mental fortitude to really weather any kind of storm right now, because you're putting a positive spin on something that's pretty heavy right now. Not to take away from it in any way, but I feel like we all want that kind of grit and that kind of determination, that kind of perseverance. What kind of things can we do to, you know, see the glass half full, or to find the bright side, or to ask ourselves, you know, what's the best thing that happened to me today? Like, how do we put a positive spin on stuff? How do you stay up like that?
For sure. So the first thing I'll tell you is, to be completely honest, I'm not always up, right? Like everybody has their ups and downs. Like nobody's perfect. And despite what you see on like social media or whatever, and everything's like always smiling and like whatever, there's always the downtimes. But the thing I've learned is to detach myself from, you know, we talked about the identity, right? So like not basing my value or my worth off of how many likes I get on Instagram, how much money I make in a month, how many, you know, like how many clients I have. Like I can't base my value off of that. Only I dictate my value. And when you detach from that, it doesn't go way up and way down. It just goes, it's closer to your baseline. And the other thing too is what I would recommend for people is, like I said, self-awareness is the foundation. So with self-awareness, start journaling. If you're having a crappy day, write about it. If you're having a great day, write about it. You would be blown away by, and you know this, by what you see on paper. Like these thoughts go through our heads all day long, but when you put it on paper, there's this power to it. and you're able to look at it and go, geez, that's actually not as bad as I thought. Or when it's good, you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't, you know what? I need to be more grateful for this.
There's definitely power in putting things on paper. Go ahead though.
Absolutely. And then the next level of that is, you know, people talk about like, okay, reflect on three things that you're grateful for. I don't believe that's enough. So for me, what I believe is you need to express those things. So say I'm reflecting that I'm grateful for YouTube and I'm reflecting on it. Okay. But I'm just sitting here with it. I'm like, I'm really grateful for these guys, but I don't say it out loud. But imagine if I looked you guys both in the eye and said, you mean a lot to me. It meant a lot to me for you to bring me here tonight. Thanks for setting up all the equipment. You're really good at what you do. How much more powerful is that? Not only have I expressed it myself and it's out there, but now you have that feeling of like, wow, I feel valuable. I feel good.
It's contagious.
It's contagious. And what are you going to want to do with that?
Pass it on.
So the whole idea is it's not enough to just reflect. You have to push it out. It's got to go outwards.
I hear what you're saying. Now I'm buying it all. Now, the thing is, in life, you know, you said that there are ups and downs. So how do we measure the fact that we're making progress? So if I'm a person that's just, you know, always down and I always think about the negative stuff, but I'm trying to switch my perspective, I want to see the brighter things. How can I measure that success that I'm having with the methods that you're telling us, you know, thinking about the brighter side? How do I do that?
So for me, it's kind of with self-awareness, it's time. So it's like the time that you stay in that hole that we talked about and, you know, the time it takes you to get out. So what I always say with mental clarity, it's like, imagine if I told you to bake a cake and I didn't give you any ingredients and you had to go to the grocery store, pick it all up. How long would it take you?
Probably forever.
But if I laid it out clearly for you and I was like, this aisle, this section, this, you know, this is how much it's going to cost, this is the label, you'd be in and out within 5 minutes, right? So that's how I look at mental clarity and self-awareness. Like the clearer you are of the things that are coming in and going out, the quicker the turnaround is going to be.
The better you could deal with the emotions.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's not even about dealing with emotions. Because with emotions, like we were talking about earlier, is like let yourself feel the emotions, but always ask yourself, like, where did it come from? And then where does it take me? So like what triggered this emotion? And then does this allow me to be my best self? Like it's small things like that that, you know, it's just that awareness. Like I can't, you know, and I'm not there yet to be able to measure, like, are you at a 7 or are you at an 8 today? Mm-hmm. And I would love to get there because I think that would be a very valuable measurement for athletes specifically, right? Like what triggered that fear?
Well, yeah, I think athletes relate to quantifying results, right? And, you know, whether you are admitted or not, you know, it feels good to see statistics and to be able to measure those things. But I think the main point that I'm taking this in and I'm trying my best not to say amen every time you drop another value bomb. But it's like, for me, I see that you're present and you see everything that's happening to you and you try to appreciate it for what it is and what it can offer you. And the challenges in your life, along with all of the positive things that are happening, they're all broadening your perspective and they're giving you opportunities to pay forward to the next person. So I think that's a huge lesson for everybody to learn. Like the best way for you to help yourself is actually to help other people. And that in and of itself is what your legacy is. Living your legacy is helping other people feel better, helping other people achieve their potential, helping other people grow, you know, and just creating that ripple.
I'm the type of person that I really like to serve other people. I want to help people on and make sure that they're in a good mood. Sometimes though, I'm in a bad mood and I see somebody that might need my help. And I don't know exactly how to take myself from my mental state to do what makes me feel better. Have you ever felt like that? Because I mean, in your line of work where you're coaching there, you said you have some down days. So how do you pick yourself up? And one thing I really love that you've been saying is you're using all your emotions. You're not just like, oh, I'm only happy, I'm only giddy, I'm also down. And then you use that down moment to empower other people. I really want you to talk about how you're using the whole spectrum of emotions to empower other people.
For sure. And you know what that all comes down to is vulnerability. And especially with men, like we're taught to keep everything in. We're taught to toughen up. Don't be a wimp. Don't cry. Don't do anything like that. Vulnerability is the key to growth for the individual expressing it and the people who are listening. Because the thing is like when you get up and you watch a speaker and they're just like, it's the surface. It's like, okay, I'm just telling you what I've learned and what I've read from a book. Right? There's a completely different connection than that of a speaker who gets up and just like, you know what, this is what life is like. And you know what, there's another level of relation and connection.
They give you their story. They talk about their own downfalls, and exactly. They don't sit up on a pedestal and just make it seem like everything is rosy.
For sure. And that's why, like, when I speak, when I tell people, it's like, you know what? I had a crappy day yesterday. And you know what? And today, like, this is really helping me being around you guys. Like, being so open, because it's so funny. Like, when I was a kid, I remember, like, the same thing of, like, this guy's perfect. Oh my gosh, does he ever have a bad day?
He's so real.
Yeah. But then when I would meet the person who goes, and I met a lot of people like this at Lululemon, where they were just like, I'm having a crappy day today, guys. I just wanted to let you guys know. And I would sit there and I go, that's awesome. I love that people can do that, because, and I think especially with men, right? If men can express themselves like that, it's so powerful, because that deepens the connection. Because how many times when a guy expresses himself, first reaction is always like, whoa, what, that was pretty deep. But then you go, yeah, I've actually experienced that too.
Right.
You know, and go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question. Just how do you think that the vulnerability pertains to good leadership? Because, you know, we're dealing with a lot of entrepreneurs here. We're dealing with a lot of entrepreneurial types. You know, people may not have their own businesses, but even as professionals, we got leaders and people with, you know, aspirations and things like that. But when you're leading others, how do you feel like vulnerability makes you a better leader?
Because they know what they're getting.
Yeah, it's authenticity.
It's authenticity. Like, you and I watched this documentary called I Am, and I would definitely recommend it for anybody out there. I think it's still on Netflix. But the one thing they talked about was how the strongest link to human connection is empathy. How can you empathize with someone if you don't know how they're feeling?
Right. That's exactly what empathy is. It's you putting yourself in someone else's.
Exactly. So think about connection, right? And what does connection drive as a leader? If I'm connected to my leader, if I'm connected to my team, that's driving.
That's huge motivation.
And we talk about results. Like, results are just the byproduct of the process. Like, the outcome is the byproduct of the process. So when we talk about, like, you know, authenticity, connection, that's the process. The outcome just happens. And I've lived on both ends of, like, all I cared about was the outcome. Like, when I was coaching, I would force myself to be upset after a loss just to show that I cared. And it was just like, I determined my value based on wins and losses. But the whole idea is, with a process, you control the process. You can't control the outcome. You can influence it, but only through your process. So I always ask people, like, when you redefine success, like, what does success mean to you? It's like, what do you uniquely contribute to make outcomes happen? And focus on that. Because if you just, when you're hiking, you don't stare at the top of the mountain the entire hike, you trip. But if you see the top of the mountain when you start, and you're like, okay, that's where I need to get to, but I'm going to focus on this path. That's how you get to the top.
Man, this leads me to my next question, obviously, which is, we got athletes that listen to our show. Can you go into a little bit of the process that you've shared with other athletes, especially professional athletes, that has helped them identify their identity?
For sure. The big thing, I'll do this without giving away too much, but the whole idea is that mirror that my manager put in front of my face, that's all I do. I don't tell them who they are, but I guide them to different areas of their life and get them to look in the mirror. And the whole idea is, it's not what other people think you are. It's not how other people think you are. It's, what do you think about yourself? Because you can sit there and you go, well, you know, people say that I'm motivating. No, do you believe you're motivating? Because when, and a lot of people base, you know, it's that external to internal, right? So whatever someone else says, I'm going to then believe it inside. But the whole idea is, that's not sustainable. So it's like love. If I rely on others for love, it's not sustainable. It's like going to a gas station every 700 kilometers. But if I love myself and I fill my own tank up, I'm driving nonstop. It's like a solar powered car and it's always sunny. And so the whole thing is, like, you with an athlete, all it is flipping the filter, or the lens at which they look through. I'm just getting excited. No, it's the lens that they look through life in. Yeah. So it's looking at it from internal to external rather than external to internal. And so it's not like, what do other people think about me? It's, what do I think about myself? Therefore, other people they'll follow suit.
Do you find it hard, or do you think that it's hard for people, because their whole life up until about, like, 19, 18, when they really step out on their own, their parents are saying, you got to do this, you got to do this. Their teacher is saying, you got to do this, you got to, their coach are saying, you got to do this. Is that why you've seen in your line of work that some people are kind of like, well, they say I'm this and they say, and that person says I'm this. Do you see that connection
there? It's like a lack of exposure to their own ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've talked about this before, but the idea of outcome-based love. So when you're young and you're playing sports or you're behaving well, you get what? You get acknowledgement, you get attention, you get that positivity, you know, you get that focus on you. And so we interpret that as love. So when we go through life, we're trying to impress those people who then dictate the love. Okay. So we're like, so what ends up happening is you go, I'm only loved when I do things well.
So you work for the love.
You work for the love because everything in the world comes down to love. Everything we do is for love. Okay. And so when you go through life and like, I've met with athletes who are retired and they're like, you know what? I'm not happy unless I get that promotion. I'm not happy unless what happens when you get a promotion? You post it on Facebook, you get all this attention. What happens when you make all this money? You get attention, you get acknowledgement, whatever. And it's different for everybody. I'm not, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. But the whole idea is we've allowed others to dictate the love we feel inside. But the whole idea is that everything I do is allowing athletes to define their own lives, but also allowing athletes to understand that they can love themselves as much as they rely on others to love them. And so, you know, and I always tell people, whatever you're seeking from other people. So if it's like, I'm seeking acceptance, I'm seeking understanding, I'm seeking, you know, and I went through this at Lululemon. I was trying to really run these like big events. So I'd get the attention from head office. Right. And I was like, I was banging my head against the wall. Cause I'm just like, why aren't they seeing these events? And I'm thinking, I'm like, why am I relying on them for how I want to feel here? And so I got to a point where I was like, no, I'm just going to start. You know what, Vince? That was a great event. Good job, man. Give myself a high five and move on.
Man, so I feel like we identified a huge gap between what athletes tend to know about themselves and what they should know about themselves. You know, if you were to go back, I think I have a good idea of what kind of advice you would give a younger self. But if you were to be a coach of a team, you know, right now you do coaching one-on-one and small group training, and then, you know, you do your seminars and things like that. But let's put you inside the lines, okay? You're a basketball coach, a football coach, you're running your business and you've got a staff, whatever it may be. How do you create a culture that promotes the kind of thinking that we're talking about here? Like, what kind of ways do you lead so that others follow suit and, you know, perpetuate the same ideas we're talking about, so that this isn't just a flash in a pan, but this is something that lives on and, you know, you could do it to an exponential level.
Yeah. So, my good friend, Martin Reeder, we talked about this and he came up with this thing of, you know, splitting acknowledgement and accountability. So it's 50-50. And the whole idea is like, and another guy, John Gordon, says love tough, not tough love. Because if you love someone first, you can be tough on them. But that's like unconditional love. It's not like, I'm just going to love you so you can score a touchdown for me. This is, I love you because I care about your growth as a human being. Therefore, when I teach you to, you know, how to run a route or whatever, it's like, yes, sir, got it. You know, but it's the whole idea of acknowledgement, like acknowledging the value of someone, right? Whether they, you know, they put in effort, it didn't work, or they did well, but acknowledging, right? Because I've been on both sides of like being the athlete, like I was never acknowledged unless I did something well. And that's when you start to rely on other people for that, right? For that acknowledgement. But the accountability is a big piece, right? It can't be all rainbows and daisies and be like, you guys are great. Let's just, you know what, have a great time. You guys are worth so much.
Because I think that's where a lot of people find the struggle, right? It's the balance between the positivity and, you know, when things aren't going well, and then they aren't going well for a long time, but you still have to be able to be the same leader. You still have to exemplify that positivity and you still have to care about those intangibles, like, you know, self-expression, self-identifying with, you know, whatever you are or whatever you want to be. It's an interesting topic, but I think you can make a huge impact by the way that you lead.
Well, and the other thing I was going to say off of that is the reason why I love working with coaches is because what I believe is the deeper you understand yourself, the deeper you're going to understand the people around you. So I can't empathize for you and you if I don't empathize with myself. So we can only give what we have. So if you get a coach who doesn't know who they are, chances are they're going to treat their athletes just like athletes. So I always challenge people, like, and this is why, and I'm going to give a shout out to Laurier, okay? Laurier Football, I did a presentation with them. There's 100 guys in the room. Head coach Mike Faulds is front row doing the exercise. That's like, to me, that is leadership. If you have someone who's open and willing to do something that they've never experienced before, like that, like, what are kids going to, their kids aren't going to sit there and go, I'm not doing
this. No, they're buying in.
They're buying in. But because he's open to it. And I, like, to me, that, I just got chills because that fires me up. Imagine if every coach was like that.
Imagine if every leader, every household, head of household, every, you know, politician, every teacher, every coach, they got down in the trenches and did the work with the people who they're asking to, you know, bear the brunt of all the forces of the world. But that's not the world we live in, but it's in our own world, we can create that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where change starts. It starts at home. It starts within your community. It starts with the things that you have at your hands. And that's why, you know, we're bringing together some of the people who are actually making noise and trying to amplify their story, because in doing so, hopefully we can inspire somebody else to continue to pass those things on.
Definitely. I want to ask you a personal question because, man, we're talking about legacy, planting seeds. We're talking about just connecting with people. Name one person that made an impact on you, that influenced you way back then, that you feel planted that seed, because you're a very self-aware person. So I know you know who that person is, that planted that seed inside you, that almost kind of said, you know what? I want to give out this type of love that I received when I was whenever.
It was my dad. It was my dad, because, you know, and it, you don't really understand the depth of it until it happens. But the moment he passed, I realized the unconditional love that he gave me. And I realized that I subconsciously have taken that with me. And, you know, that's the impact. You know, anyone can have that impact, because all it takes is, like, it's that, I don't even know how to describe this, but it was the love. Like, and as I was saying, the deeper you understand love, the deeper the love you'll give to those around you. The reason why I'm able to love people, give presence to people, like give my presence to people and just understand people, be curious, is because my dad was always that way with me. And so that's where, like, that completely, I don't want to say shifted my life, because I was always that person, but he always allowed me to be that person, being sensitive, being vulnerable, all that. So I'm very thankful. And the other thing I always tell people too, is like another person who really inspired me was myself. Because when you take ownership of your own life and you sit there and you go, like, you know, this is my life. I'm going to take control of it. And this is what I want. That's inspiring. Right. And once you inspire yourself, other people, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to see other people do the same thing. That inspires me. And so I always, like, be your own best friend. Like, if anything comes out of this conversation, like, be your own best friend. Like, when you watch yourself cheer for your favorite athlete or your favorite team, ask yourself if you cheer that hard for yourself.
Wow. Because a lot of people will cheer for, you know, the best athlete in the NFL, the CFL, you know, NBA, but do they cheer for themselves? Do they push themselves even in the smallest victories?
Man, a lot of us wouldn't even have any friends if we spoke to others the way we speak to ourselves.
And that's a huge reason why we do our weekly wins, you know? Even if it's a small win, we want to celebrate that for ourselves. You said that your value, your identity is love. What is love?
This is awesome. This is awesome. Love is unconditional. And you know, to go deeper, like, you know, there's obviously different ways. Everybody feels love differently. Like, there's love languages or whatever. But to me, it's that the word unconditional. Like, no matter what. Like, if somebody cuts you off on the highway, still loving that person. If someone hates you, still loving that person. And with love comes acceptance, comes understanding, comes empathy. So it's like, I always ask people too, like, do you love hate as much as you love love? Because that's unconditional love. So when someone hates you, or someone's like, you know, high school kids are always talking about haters. And I always say, like, you know, like, do you love them? And every time, no, why would I love them? They hate me, you know, whatever. And the beautiful thing is like, everyone, you know, right now we're going through a time in the world where there's so much hatred. And it's like, can we step back and go, how can we love these people who are hating? How can we, and I don't want to say, like, how can we love Donald Trump? But the whole idea is, like, how can we understand that he can't give what he doesn't have? So maybe he's never experienced love. He's never experienced that unconditional love. But like, I get to a point where like, there's so many people who are like, yeah, I practice love all the time. And then they go and complain about some guy in the bar who, you know, said something stupid. It's like, I honestly, like I've gotten to a point now where I'm like, man, I feel so sorry. Like I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I really hope like deep down, it's not, I don't even have to say it, but deep down feeling like, I really hope you feel the love that I have for myself.
How can I practice love in those situations where I've built a habit of retaliating?
Yeah. So the practice comes with mindfulness. So it's, you know, whether you do it through meditation, whether you do it through like understanding where it came from. But the whole idea is practicing turning your reaction into a response. So you consciously know that when I get cut off, this is what I then say to myself in my head. And what I say to myself in my head does not produce a positive emotion. So then you go, okay, well, what do I want to say to myself when someone cuts me off? So maybe it's like, that effing guy, I can't believe it. You could turn that into, that guy really must really need to get somewhere. You know, so that's where the self-awareness comes in, of like the awareness of what's coming in and what does it produce. And then now being like, no, I'm in the driver's seat of my own mind, of my own thoughts. I'm going to control where this is going to go. So someone cuts me off, that guy's got to be in a rush. He's got to get somewhere. I'm sure it's an emergency.
And that just ties it back into how you started all of this, but talking about feeling that moment, you know, when you're in that terrible place, when you're in that crummy place, go through your emotions, identify your triggers, and then reprogram your response.
Yes.
It's like you're stepping out of yourself and looking at yourself.
And the beautiful part about when you say reprogramming, there's a sense of empowerment that comes in that, because you're like, wait, I control this?
You do control
this. You know what I mean? So that's such a key piece to all of this. It's like, I'm not like, as a legacy coach, I'm not in control of your thoughts. You are. I can just help you guide you to look at them and see what it's producing within you.
You're showing them where the steering wheel and the brakes and the gas are at, where the gearbox is.
Exactly.
You're just the guy in the passenger seat who's got the extra brake just in case things get hairy. Yeah, man, this is definitely one of our most powerful episodes to date. I think we've been high, we've been low, we've been back in the day, we've sold shoes in high school, we've traveled across the border, we've touched lives, we've been affected by trauma, and we've bounced back. And at the end of the day, we're standing here with a message of nothing but pure positivity. So if you were to give a... You know.
Oh, before you ask that, because I know what you're about to ask, but I want to know something. Because
okay, go in.
If we were in, like, you know, the world of X-Men, I would be like your Professor Xavier, because your mental fortitude is just unreal. But if you had a superpower, what would be your superpower?
Love. And you know what? The best part about love is everyone has that superpower, and everyone is that superpower. And all it takes is like understanding what are the things that block me from having my superpower of love.
All right. That's good.
The self-awareness right now is just at an all-time high. Just going to say that. And I co-sign exactly what he was talking about earlier, because you really gravitate towards the energy. You know, you step in the room and there's an energy that comes with you. You got an aura and it's magnetic. And I feel like the world needs a lot more of that. So hopefully people can feel it through the sound waves and we can continue to pass this on, because my goodness, I'm over here. I'm ready to go. You know, it's late at night right now while we're recording this, but I'm ready to start the day all over again, man. So I want to wrap this up and really put the cherry on top, but I want to give you an opportunity to kind of sum things up. And if you had, you know, a mini dissertation that you could give, and this was going to be the last thing you put on tape, like, what is the advice that you have for anybody out there ambitious who's, you know, got goals and they really want to see themselves succeed? What is your advice to these people?
Love yourself. It's as simple as that. And you know, it's funny, but people are like, okay, yeah, love myself. Then what? But the whole idea is like, what are we doing all this for? You know, like I had this question last week, like everyone has their own individual purpose. Okay. But what is the purpose? Like if all 8 billion of us were a team, what would a win be? And so all it takes though is imagine if every single person unconditionally loved themselves, what would they be giving to everyone around them? What would they be giving? Love. So like, to me, it's actually so much more simple than people think. Like, what are we chasing after? We're actually chasing, like, if you follow it down the line, oh, I'm going to make money. Okay. Why are you making money? So I can have a family. Why do you have a family? Okay. So then we could do this. Oh, why is that? Okay, great. And then love. Okay. Where did this all come from? Well, I came because I got this, a background in this. Okay, great. My passion in this. Okay. And where did that start? My love. So everything starts with love and everything ends with love.
Well, when you make it sound that easy, we wonder why we've been running around with our heads cut off. That's, man, honestly, hey.
I hope you guys have been listening.
I really hope you've been paying attention. And if not, we got a rewind button. This is 2017. You could go straight to the beginning and start over again.
Yeah, this is packed with a lot of powerful stories, information. I'm just going to put it out there. We want you back.
We need you back. We're going to have part two.
So if you want him back on the episode, the Legacy Coach, comment on our Instagram, comment on the website.
And let us know what you took out of this, because there had to be a quotable or a thought that resonated with you. Let us know what it was, because I'm interested to see what your takeaways are.
Because I got a lot of notes here. All right. So Vince, where can we connect with you? Where can the audience connect with you?
So my website is thelegacycoaching.com. And then my Instagram is @thelegacycoaching. Facebook is The Legacy Coaching. And Twitter is Legacy_coaching, because there's not enough characters. Thanks, Twitter. But yeah, reach out to me. Use me as a resource. That's what I'm here for.
Happy to connect. And for all the athletes out there, I definitely recommend getting in touch, even if it's just to see what's going on, because you will be better for it. So for the TCU team, this is your boy, Courtney.
I'm Jimmy, and we are signing out.
Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. If you liked it, share it with a friend. We would appreciate if you left us a review. A link can be found in the show notes. Be honest. Do you love the come up?